morning. Take your seat, Sue. Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's host, the host he's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. Our text for this morning comes from the book of Acts, the second book written by the second gospel written by Dr. Luke. Acts chapter 17, verses 16 through 34. I invite you to follow along in your Bibles as I read Acts 17, 16 through 34. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to dispute with him. Some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Others remarked, "He seems to be advocating foreign gods." They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we want to know what they mean." All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hand. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that man would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of our own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead." When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, "We want to hear you again on this subject." At that, Paul left the council. A few men became followers of Paul and believed. Among them was Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, also a woman named Demarius, and a number of others. May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. In a Charles Schulz peanut comic strip, Linus, who plays the piano, and Charlie Brown are engaged in a serious conversation. And Linus asks, "When we die and go to heaven, will we be graded on a percentage or on a curve?" Charlie Brown answers, "Well, on a curve naturally. And Linus asked, how can you be so sure? And Charlie Brown says, in all matters of opinion, I am sure. And this morning we shall be talking about one of the most prominent theological matters of opinion in our time. And this theological matter is composed of the issue, does it matter what we believe? In other words, do all religions lead to heaven? There's an ancient Hindu story that many of you are familiar with about six blind men who are brought to see, quote, an elephant. It's like a wall, said the first man as he touched the side of the elephant. It's like a spear, said the second man as he rubbed the tusk of the elephant. The third man took the elephant's squirming trunk and said, no, no, it's like a snake. Nonsense, the fourth man shouted. Stretching his arms about one of the beast's legs, he said, it is like a tree. And the fifth man, touching the elephant's ear, cried, even the blindest man can see this animal is like a fan. And the sixth man, grabbing the elephant's tail, assured his friends that it was really like a rope. And you know, many people of different religions say they have touched God. Yet the gods they describe are different as the elephant described by the blind man. And this has led many to conclude, just like the blind men, that everybody is correct. Everybody just had hold of different parts of God. And the logic is, since everybody is correct, his or her different faiths must all lead to the same place, heaven. Thus, the title of our sermon this morning, Do All Roads Leave to Heaven? Well, centuries ago in a city called Athens, about which Luke wrote when Paul was visiting there, this was the predominant belief, the belief that all gods, all religions led to eternal life. The city of Athens was a very religious city. There were some 30,000 idols that the people worshipped. And yet, they were confused about which one was the true God. So they worshipped them all. And in fact, as Paul pointed out when he spoke in the synagogue and when he spoke to the Areopagus, that there was one that was an idol to an unknown God. They wanted to cover all their bases. Now, let's not dismiss these people, these Athenians, as uneducated bumpkins. Athens was a center of learning in its day. It was there that the idea of democracy had its origin. Many of the world's great philosophers and thinkers lived in Athens. Sophocles, Euripides, Plato, and Socrates. And located in Athens was one of the greatest universities in the ancient world. The city was a center of philosophy and science and art and literature. It was dedicated to truth and to wisdom. Yet in the midst of this pursuit of truth and wisdom, there was confusion. When it came to God, people did not know the truth or what to embrace as the truth. They did not know which God to worship, so they believed that somehow all gods were equal. And this was the concept adopted by intellectual types since the ancient time of Athens. Even today, we experience brilliant people, smart people, who still hold to this concept. They seem to be unwilling or unable to discover the truth about God, and as a result, religion is relegated to a matter of personal taste rather than objective reality. It's similar to the fashion we wear and the color of our houses. There's no right and wrong to whatever decisions we make. It's just a matter of personal choice. And we have so many choices. Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, New Age, Scientology. I was in Books A Million not too long ago and was looking for some Christian cards. And you would believe the number of different books on different religions that were in that section. We see people like Tom Cruise and others, John Travolta, embracing Scientology, and it influences our young people. One of our children, 20 years ago, got a book by Ron Hubbard and thought it was the greatest thing. And it took us a while to convince her that that was nothing but some very carefully crafted wording. It had nothing to do with God and being a believer. If you like Buddhism or Hinduism as opposed to Christianity, that's okay. It's no big deal. It's similar to liking McDonald's Big Macs over Hardee's thick burgers. It really doesn't matter. In other words, if there's a God, He will understand. Everybody is just attempting to reach Him in different ways, and it makes no difference as long as you are sincere. I have friends who are Muslims that are also members of the Islam religion. And for more than 15 years, I have tried to witness to them and have witnessed to them. And they deflect it with, "Oh, our God, Allah, is the same as your God." Well, do you believe in Jesus? Oh yes, we believe He was a great teacher. In fact, if you look in the Quran, Jesus is mentioned more times than Muhammad, the prophet that they believe God spoke to and gave him the Quran to write down. But then you get to saying, well, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Well, no, not exactly. Well, do you believe He was crucified? Well, no, Judas was substituted on the cross for Jesus. But if you just talk to him casually, oh, yes, it's the same thing. These New Age people, you know, oh, we see God in everything. Well, God is in everything, but we worship everything. We worship Jehovah God, God Almighty. And you know, Christians believe that it does make a difference what a person believes. We have offended more people down through the ages when we make the statement and feel compelled to say, it does make a difference what you believe. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Peter said, "Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." And in our text today, Paul is saying the same thing. Listen again just to verses 29 through 31. "Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance. But now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. Friends, the judgment day is coming, and it does matter what we believe. You can read all the books you want to, written about other beliefs and other religions, but you're not going to get salvation from reading them. Paul's argument, the crux of Paul's argument, is that people will not enter heaven by being Hindus. The Muslims aren't going to please God through their religion of Islam. You don't get through the pearly gates by holding up your Buddhist statue. And Paul saying, God is calling us to repent because there will be a judgment. Intellectual types are fond of stating that no one has the right to tell someone else what to believe. They say it's not nice. And Paul is saying it's not nice not to tell them what to believe. That judgment is coming, and if people don't recognize what they believe is wrong, the consequences are deadly. We cannot be open-minded and tolerant when it comes to belief in God. Smart people should realize this is true. There is no other serious field of knowledge where broad-mindedness is allowed. In the chemical laboratory, water is two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen. Any deviation from that, and it's not water. It's not accepted as water. There's no room for broad-mindedness in the mathematics classroom. Geometry, calculus, and trigonometry do not allow any variation from exact accuracy. The answer is either right or wrong. There is no tolerance. And serious fields of knowledge refuse to allow tolerances from the truth. And here in Acts 17, Paul states it's the same with God. There is no winking of God and saying, oh, that's okay, just come on in. You didn't repent, but I know you meant to. You're a good person. Come on in. I've talked about this before. Connie and I have had Jewish friends who we tried to witness to and had no success. And a young lady that was in her middle 40s had brain cancer and died. And it grieved us. It hurt our hearts, and we cried about it because she had not accepted Jesus as Savior. And the Bible tells us she will not be with the Lord for failure to do so. Serious fields of knowledge, including the study of God, allow for no tolerance. There will come a time of judgment. Well, how do we know what we believe is right? Paul tells us in verse 31 of our text today, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. You know, people who challenge our faith always want to get us sidetracked on other issues. They want to know, well, do you really believe that God created the world in 7 days? Do you really believe that Moses parted the Red Sea and walked onto dry land? Do you really believe that a flood covered the entire earth? If the skeptic can sidetrack us into arguing about such events, then we shall have missed the point. The only proof God wants us to be concerned with is Jesus. And that's what Paul meant when he wrote, "For I am resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus and Him crucified." We don't have to defend the Bible. Yes, we should have an opinion about this. Yes, we should believe these things happen. They are recorded in God's Word. But it is, we do not really need to defend the Bible. What we need to do is proclaim Jesus Christ as Savior. Paul wrote, "We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Gentiles, Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength." You know, at this time when Paul was speaking to the Areopagus and to the synagogue, people in the synagogue and people in the city, when he finished his talk to the council, to the Areopagus, there was no mad rush of souls to the stage. There was no large number of converts that came forward. In fact, the crowd's response was mixed. Some said, "I want to talk to you about it later." Others sneered at him. And there are many scholars who maintain that Paul's preaching at Athens was a failure because it was so poorly received. But I do not believe that Paul would agree. For Paul was faithful in proclaiming Jesus to anyone and was thankful when someone believed. And that scripture tells us that a few men became followers of Paul and believed. And among them was Dionysus, a member of the Areopagus, also a woman named Demarius, and a number of others. I think Paul would have been delighted that the Lord had used him to win a few people to Him. Do you know Jesus as Savior? I certainly hope so. But if you don't, let me tell you this, friends, you will not have salvation. You will not have eternal life. You will not live in heaven with Him if you believe in Confucius or Hinduism or Buddhism or Islam. You will live eternity in the fires of hell. So if you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, and the Holy Spirit is touching at you, as I hope He is, we invite you to accept the invitation of God to have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And we would love for you, if you make that decision, to come forward and we'll pray for you and talk with you. If you want to become a member of this body of believers, we invite you to come also as we sing a hymn of invitation, number 305, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus."